We're on Kuf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, 9 lines down, the second word on the line where it says, Itmar. Yesterday we learned the Maisa b'Bnei Brak, a story that happened in B'Nei Brak about a son who had sold his father's land and then that son died. And afterwards the family, other family members of the father, the son, contested the sale. They claimed that it wasn't a valid sale because the seller was technically still halachically a minor at the time, because they claimed he did not yet grow the two pubic hairs, which is the halachic sign of adulthood. And so with this, they wanted to undermine the sale. On today's daf, we learn that besides for the requirement that the seller be an adult, when it comes to a situation where a child has inherited land from his or her parent, the Rabbanan added an additional requirement that it's not good enough that this child be considered legally an adult, that the child be bar mitzvah with, again, the shtei saras, with the two pubic hairs. Rather, the Rabbanan substantially raised the age limit to start selling off the properties, the land, lest the child, you know, not have the maturity to, you know, conduct the business properly and end up piffling away the estate. So the Gemara discusses this, you know, what exactly, you know, age limit the Rabbanan said here. Itmar was stated, Katan me emasai mocher benichse aviv. What age did the Rabbanan say, okay, this child who inherited properties or inherited land from his father may go ahead and start doing business with the land, start selling the land? And what age could we be reasonably confident that the child will have, hopefully, adequate maturity to conduct business carefully with the land of the estate? The Gemara brings two opinions. Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman, the answer is Ben Shmona Esrei Shana. The child must be 18 years old for the Rabbanan to allow him to start doing business with the estate. Rav Huna Bar Chinana Amar Rav Nachman. Huna Bar Chinana Rav Nachman says, Mi Ben Esrim Shana. The child must be 20 years old before the Rabbanan allow him to do business with the estate. And we're referring to land specifically when it comes to movables. Actually, the Rabbanan enacted the opposite. They allowed even a child under bar mitzvah to sell metaltlim, because that might be essential in order to, for the child to find something, some means of sustenance. But we're discussing the more, you know, major kind of business dealings with actual real estate. As far as that, we have two opinions. Rav has said 18, Rav Huna said 20. Is the age limit before the Rabbanan allow the son to do business with the estate? We'll see later in the Gemara that an exception could be made if the child demonstrates an intellect and maturity and appears adept at being able to do business with the estate, then we could allow it even younger than this age. The Gemara now challenges Rav Huna Bar Chinana from the B'nai Brak story we learned yesterday in the Braisa Masa Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera challenged Rav Huna Bar Chinana. We learned yesterday, Maisa b'Bnei Brak b'Echad shemachar b'Nichsei Aviv u'Meis. Once a son sold some property that he inherited from his father, and then the son died. Ubo b'Nei Mishpacha v'Yiru. The family members then came along and challenged the validity of the sale. Lomar katan haya b'Shas Misa, claiming it's not a sale because son was technically a minor. By the time he died, or by this sale, he was still a minor, so it wasn't a sale. And as we learned yesterday, Ubo v'sholos Rabbi Akiva, the question was brought to Rabbi Akiva. They asked Rabbi Akiva, can we settle this issue, ma'u libotko, by examining the corpse and seeing if the corpse had the shtei saras, the two pubic hairs, which would provide physical evidence as to the truth here. Amar lahem, Rabbi Akiva said to them that that is not an appropriate solution. For first of all, yatem rishayin lenavlo. It's not appropriate to go and be menavel, to defile the corpse, disrespect the corpse by digging it up and examining it. V'yodin, furthermore, even if we could somehow justify this in terms of the issue of being menavel, the corpse, Rabbi Akiva said there's anyways no point of doing this, for even if you find that there are simanim, there are no simanim in the corpse, that will not be conclusive evidence, since simanim asuyin lehishtanos la'achar misa. The human body changes after death. So what you observe in the corpse after death could simply be the result of some change, some natural change that occurred as the corpse began to decompose. So there's anyways no point of examining the corpse. But clearly from the story, the B'nai Mishpacha felt their initial argument anyways was that if we examine the corpse and there are no pubic hairs, that would prove that this seller was still a minor at the time. and therefore they would win the case. It would invalidate the sale. Meaning, if we set aside Rabbi Akiva's point, Rabbi Akiva says there's this separate problem that the corpse could change after death, and you know, maybe there were pubic hairs and they fell out after death. But barring that fact, it seems that the B'nai Mishpacha would have been able to prove their case that the seller was still a minor if it had been discovered that the corpse had no pubic hairs. So Bizera makes the following point from the Braisa against Rav Huna Bar Chinana. He says, Bishlam lemandi amar ben shemona esrei shana. Very good according to Rava. The minimum age to sell land is 18. And presumably, therefore, in terms of age, this seller was 18 years old. Nobody would have done business with him if he wasn't 18. If that's the minimum age to deal with selling land. So turning to Amid Beis, Hainu dika asuv amrule mahu libotko. If the son who had sold the land was 18 at the time, then we quite well understand the B'nai Mishpacha's proposal. They were proposing to examine the corpse because they were claiming that although this son had met the requirement of adulthood to sell land in terms of age, however, they claimed he was not halachically adult because he lacked shtei saros. He didn't have two pubic hairs. And so that's why they proposed, let's examine the corpse and we will find there's no pubic hairs. And that will prove our claim that he wasn't an adult at the time, and therefore the sale was not valid. So we keep the property. But the Gemara says, but if we say, like Rav Huna Bar Chinana, that the minimum age to sell land that is inherited is the age of 20, which means then, you know, presumably, this case would not have occurred if the son in the story was under 20. You know, when we do business with him, if he wasn't 20 years old, he got to be 20 to sell land. So we're dealing with the case of a 20-year-old son who died. And now, what's the case? The B'nai Mishpacha claim that no, he still wasn't an adult. And we'll prove it to you. How will we prove it? Because we'll do a bedikah, we'll examine the corpse, and you'll see there's no saros. This person didn't have the pubic hairs, and therefore, that will prove he was not an adult, and so the sale wasn't valid. The Gemara says, not true. Ki bot kulei mayhavi. What difference would it make to examine the corpse and find that there's no saros that would not support their claim at all? For V'atanan, in light of the Mishnah that we learn in Masechtas Nida, it says, Ben Esrim shalohevi shtei saros. If a 20-year-old man does not have two saros, doesn't have two pubic hairs, halacha is, yaviu raya shehu ben esrim, as long as the relatives can establish, they can prove that in fact this person is 20, vehu asaris, and that he is a saris, meaning that person who is 20 years old and does not have the two pubic hairs, that person is presumed to be a saris. Saris is the male equivalent of an islandess, who is a woman who has some kind of defect that results in not developing the normal signs, the normal female characteristics that start to show in puberty. So saros is the male equivalent. He doesn't show the male signs of puberty. Says the Mishnah Nida, once it's established that this person, this 20-year-old man who doesn't have the pubic hairs, is therefore is established to be a saros, the halacha is that if this saros man was in a yibum situation, that is, he had a brother who was married and then died without any children. Well, normally the Torah says that the surviving brother is supposed to marry the widow, and if not, they do chalitza to release her to marry somebody else. In this situation, by a saris, the halacha is lo chaletz velo miyabe. There's no yibum, there's no mitzvah for the surviving brother to marry the widow. And what's more, lo chaletz is not even a mitzvah chalitza, that is, there's no yibum situation here whatsoever. Because the Torah excludes the saris from yibum, the concept of yibum is to continue the name of the deceased brother, ideally by having a child with the widow. This saris is unable to bear children. Saris can't have children. Therefore, he and the widow are completely exempt from yibum or chalitza in this situation. So the Mishnah teaches us that there is a possible situation where you have a person who is an adult, but he's an adult with a defect, where he'll never develop the signs of puberty. And so he's considered a halachic adult, even though he doesn't have the typical signs of adulthood. So the Gemara is asking, and Rav Huna Bar Chinana, that since, according to you, the story presumably deals with the 20-year-old son who sold the land, otherwise nobody would do business with him. So he was 20, and he sold the land, and then he died. And what are the B'nai Mishpacha claiming? They're trying to claim that if we find that the corpse has no pubic hairs, then that will support our claim that in fact this person was not an adult at the time. The problem is, a 20-year-old without pubic hairs is not presumed to be a minor. The opposite, that person is presumed to be a saris. If he's already 20 years old and there's no pubic hairs, then the presumption is he's an adult with a defect, he's a saris. So Rabbi Akiva should have simply responded to them that your proposal makes no sense at all. Because either way, if he has the pubic hairs, then obviously you have no claim at all. Clearly he's an adult. And if he doesn't have pubic hairs, then he's still presumed to be an adult. He'll be classified as an adult saris. So it seems that according to Rav Huna bar Chinana, the Bnei Mishpacha had zero argument over here. But the Gemara responds, it's actually not so simple, this whole business about the saris. For Lavit Marla, where it says, was it not stated in reference to that Mishnah, Nida Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav explained that Vehu Shenoldu Bo Simane Saris. The Mishnah's ruling that we classify this person, this 20-year-old man who doesn't have pubic hairs, as a Saris, only applies when in conjunction with the fact that he doesn't have pubic hairs, there are other signs that he's not developing normally. The Gemara Yevamis talks about those other signs, like, for example, his voice doesn't deepen, his voice sounds more high-pitched, more like a woman's voice. And there are other symptoms that the Gemara there discusses. The point is, we don't establish this person as an adult saris based only on the fact that he has no pubic hairs. There are other things that we need to see in order to make that determination. And therefore, even according to Rav Huna bar Chinana, that again, the son in this story was 20 at the time, they still had a valid proposal here, which was, we believe if we dig up the corpse, we'll discover there was no pubic hairs, but at the same time, this person did not exhibit the other saris characteristics. And so the halacha of such a person is that person is deemed to be a minor. If the only symptom at even the age of 20 is the lack of pubic hairs, that person is deemed a minor. So the Bnei Mishpacha still had a case here. It's no longer a question on Rav Huna bar Chinana. Number Rava, Rava said, Dikanami, the wording of the Mishnah Nida supports this theory that it's not enough that this person at 20 doesn't have pubic hairs. There are other signs that we would have to see in order to make the determination to say he's an adult saris, who would be exempt from Yibum. Dikatani, from the Mishnah's language, that it said you have to first prove that this person is 20, person without pubic hairs, Vihu asaris. And the Mishnah adds, and they also have to prove, it seems a separate thing they have to prove, is that he is a saris. So what does that mean? Apparently this refers to other symptoms that a saris would exhibit. If we find those other symptoms, plus he has no pubic hairs, then we would say he is an adult who's simply not developing normally. But without the additional symptoms, we wouldn't make that call. Shema Amina. Indeed, this is clear from the Mishnah's language, and therefore, we can use this to defend Rav Huna bar Chinana. The Gemara wonders about how it works. V'chi lo noldu lo simani saris ad kama. When it comes to this situation, where this person just doesn't have the pubic hairs, but otherwise appears to be developing normally, into what point in this person's life would we continue classifying the person as a minor, rather than coming to the conclusion that this person really is an adult, it just has a defect, it isn't developing normally, the person is a saris? And where it says, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Chiya taught in Braisa, and the answer is, Ad Rov Shenosav. Until the majority of typical expected lifespan, in Tehillim it says, Yimesh Nosem Shivim Shana, David HaMelech mentions 70 as typical lifespan. So therefore, Chiya is saying that once a person reaches the age of 36, and the person still does not have pubic hairs, even though he doesn't exhibit the other saris signs, at that point we would deem the person a saris. So there would be no yibum or chalitza. The Gemara tells us how ki asa l'kamei de Rabbi Chiya, when somebody was not developing the normal signs of puberty, would come to Rav Chiya would advise, yikachish, if the person who came to him was, you know, a small build, was a thin person, amrlei livri, he would advise him to put on some weight, because sometimes being skinny would slow the process of puberty. And be ibri, if the person who came to Rav Chiya wasn't showing the signs of puberty, was a larger person, amrlei lichush, would advise the person to lose weight. The Gemara says, "Dani simani Signs of puberty, zimnin da'asu machmas chishusa. Sometimes the pubic hairs could result from being thin, zimnin da'asu machmas riusa. Sometimes you need to be a little fatter to have those pubic hairs grow. Now again, earlier the Gemara brought this dispute about the minimum age the Rabbanan set for a son to sell his father's lands that he inherited. Rava said 18 and Rav Huna said 20. Iboilu, they asked, what precisely does this mean? The question is, toch zman. Let's say, according to Rava, you have a fellow who is in his 18th year. He turned 17, now he's in his 18th year. Or according to Rav Huna, he's in his 20th year. Kilif nezman o kalacherzman. Is that considered before the time and he can sell the land, or after the time he can start selling land? Or does the person have to actually turn 18 or 20? So the Gemara brings two opinions about this. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Toch Zman, Kilif Nezman. Rav is sending him Rav Nachman that if he is merely in his 18th year, let's say, that's considered still within the time. He's not yet at the age where he can start selling land. But Rav Amar Rav Shila, Rav Nachman, Rav Amar Rav Shila, sending him Rav Nachman, Toch Zman, Kilacher Zman. That the 18th year, the 20th year, that's good enough. That's considered already after the time when he could start selling land. The Gemara says, V'adu Rava, that which we attributed to Rava, that he holds, that being, let's say, in the 18th year is not good enough, he has to actually turn 18, Lav b'feirish itmar l'michlola itmar. It was presumed that this is Rava's opinion, not based on an explicit statement. Rava didn't explicitly state this is his opinion. Rather, it was inferred from something Rava ruled that this is his opinion. For this was the case. There was one such a case. You had a person who was in his 18th or 20th year, depending on which opinion you go like. And he went and sold some land that belonged to his father, the Rava. The case came to Rava. He said to them, Lo asav lo klum. Rava ruled he has done nothing, it's not a sale. Siman de Chaza Sava, the one who observed this ruling, held, which was the Gemara above, the Gemara assumed, whoever made this statement assumed, that why did Rava rule this way? Mishum de Toch Zman, Kilifnei Zman. Because Rav is of the opinion that the 18th year, let's say, that's not good enough. You have to turn 18. If you hold the age limit as 18. But the Gemara now says, Veloi, it's not true. That wasn't why Rava said that the sale is not a good sale. Rather, Hasim Shtusa Yisirta Chazabei. Rav's ruling there was specific to that case, for he observed that this particular son was particularly foolish. He observed that this son was going and freeing the slaves of the estate. So essentially, he was just throwing money away. So Rava gathered from this that this particular son was very irresponsible. And therefore, Rava felt that he should not be granted the authority to go and sell lands belonging to his father. That is, the halacha that he has to be at least 18 or at least 20. This is like a standard age limit, but an exception could always be made. If it's clear that this person is still not ready yet, is not responsible at all yet, then you can make a call and say that he should not be authorized to sell the land. But it could very well be that, in general, Rav's opinion is that as soon as the child is in the, say, 18th or 20th year, that that's good enough, then he is old enough. The Gemara continues on this topic. Shalach le'gidol bar Menashe le'Rava ilamdein Rabbeinu. Gidol bar Menashe sent to Rav to teach us, our Rebbe, what is the halacha in the following case? Tinokes bas arba esrei shana v'yom echad. Let's say you have a 14-year-old girl. She just turned 14. She's 14 in a day. And we observe that this girl is yodas b'tiv masu matan. She appears to be very knowledgeable, very responsible. In masu matan, doing business with real estate, with her father's properties. She appears to know what she is doing. Mahu. What is the halacha in this case? Would we grant her permission, halachic permission, to go and continue selling land of her father's estate, even though she is, you know, way under the age limit, the 18 or the 20 age limit that was discussed above? Shalach le, Rav is sent back. The halacha is im yodas b'tiv masu matan mekach mchar memchar. In such a case, we would fully recognize her purchases and her sales. For although in general we say that the child shouldn't be allowed until 18 or 20. But if in a particular case we observe that the child is responsible enough, does know enough to be able to conduct such business, then it's fine, we can grant the authority. The Gemara wonders about the details of Gidol bar Menashe's question. The Gemara wonders why, first of all, Gidol bar Menashe specifically asks about a tinokes, a young girl, v'lishlach le tinok. Why not ask the question about a young boy? The boy is, let's say, 14, who is Yedea B'tiv Masimatin. He apparently knows what he's doing. Gemara answers, Maisa Shaya Kachaya. The answer simply is, that was the case that Gilo Bar Menashe was actually dealing with. It wasn't, you know, a theoretical question. It was an actual case. And similarly, the Gemara asks, V'lishlach Lei Tinokas Bashtem Esrei Shana V'yom Echad. Why didn't Gila Bar Menashe ask about a girl who just became Bas Mitzvah? She's 12 years old in a day. And that would further accentuate the point that as long as she is at the minimum age where Minatara she could do a sale, she's Bas Mitzvah, still if she's Yodas B'tiv Masa Matan, then we would allow her to do the sale, even though she's so far from 18 or 20. And yet he only asked about a case where she's 14, so now it leaves us in doubt a little bit. It's not clear, you know, what if she's younger than 14? Would we still say this? So why didn't you, like, go all the way and ask about where she is 12? The Gemara simply answers again, Ma'isa Shaya Kachay, because that was the actual case. He asked him about a real case that came before him. And so he's simply asking about the details of his specific case. And the Gemara now brings an actual case which brings out this concept that the standard age of 18 or 20 is not set in stone. We can make an exception. Now, who pachas ben esrim? There was once this teenager who was under 20. This teenager utilized the ruling that Rava sent of Gidol Bar Menashe, that if the child, the youth in question, is Yodea B'tiv Masa Matan, he knows what he's doing, then he could be given the authority to sell land from his father that he inherited. And this youth went and sold some land, but then he regretted the sale. He wanted to go back on the sale. And so Asilaka made the Rava. He came to Rava for ruling, asking that, I want to go back on the sale, you know, I'm out of age yet, and therefore I should be able to back out. The Gemara says, Amrulei Krove, the relatives of this youth, advised him to do the following thing, to, you know, employ the following deception. He said, Zil Echel Tmari Yushadi Be Kishyasa Be Rava. Go and eat some dates and throw the pits right on the floor in Rava's house. And surely when Rava observes this, you know, very immature behavior, he'll conclude that you're not ready to do any sales and therefore he'll invalidate the sale that you want invalidated. Avad achi. So the youth followed this advice and started throwing pits on Rava's floor. So Rava saw this. He said to everyone involved in the case, he said, Zvine lav zvine. He said, the sale indeed is not a valid sale. You got to give the property back. This youth is clearly not qualified to sell the land. But the Gemara says, Kika kasvu le shtara. When the sofra was about to write up the document officially, in a recording Rava's ruling, Amrulei lekuchos, the purchasers advised the youth, Zil emalei l'Rava, you should go and tell Rava that you're overpaying for the cost of the scribe to write up the document. And you should argue to Rava as follows, Megillas Esther b'zuza, if the cost for a sofer to write up the whole Megillas Esther is only one zuz, you can get a Megillas Esther for a zuz, shtara de mara b'zuza, and mara should pay the same price as zuz, just for a little document that states the ruling. Doesn't make sense, they're overcharging. So the youth listened, and he made this point to Rava. And Rava heard that this youth was able to say something intelligent here. He had this intelligent argument. It made sense. It was a nice piece of negotiating. So, Omer Lehu, Rava therefore said to the purchasers, Zvine, Zvine, actually, I changed my mind, and now I rule that this sale is a valid sale. In spite of my first impression, clearly this youth did have the intelligence. He does have the business sense to be able to conduct sales. So the sale was valid. Omer Le Karove, the relatives of the youth, seeing what happened here, they said to Rava, that just 1 minute, it's not fair. You know why the youth knew how to do that negotiating tactic? Lekuchos agmaru. The purchasers set him up. They taught him to say this because they wanted this result. They wanted you to think that the youth is very smart in business and so that you would retract and validate the sale. Amalahu, Rava said to them, nonetheless, masberi lei savar. It doesn't matter that somebody else fed him the negotiating tactic because the fact is, once they explained to him what to say, what to argue, he understood the argument. Clearly, he was able to say it over well. And therefore, kivin the masberi lei v'savar, since upon being explained, you know, what to say, he understood it and properly articulated the argument, made the yada. Clearly, he has the capacity, he has the know-how to do business, to sell his father's land. V'hai di avid achi, and what about his initial behavior? How could somebody who has any bit of maturity start throwing pits around my house? apparently, in spite of his evident intelligence, chutzpah yisera hu dahave be. Apparently, this youth just has a real nerve. He has like bad midos to go and throw pits around somebody's house. But apparently, there's a disconnect here between his sense of etiquette, sense of behaving appropriately, and his business know-how. He does know how to do business, and therefore I do not void the sale. The sale stands. So in the end, this plot of the relatives did not work out. The Gemara now says, and in spite of this age limit that the Rabbanan set, that generally we assume son does not have the right maturity to start selling the father's land until either 18 or 20, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua u'le'edus, but as far as testifying, edus o'edus, as soon as the child in question is a bar mitzvah, his testimony is valid testimony. He doesn't need to be particularly bright or show any particular ability. Rather, once this person is a legal adult, then his testimony is valid. The Gemara qualifies this. Amar Mar Zutcha. Mar Zutcha says, Lo amaron ela lemitaltali. Rav Huna is only saying that as soon as the youth is bar mitzvah, the youth's testimony is valid with respect to movables. If it's a monetary case involving movables, then we accept his testimony. But if the case involves land, then we do not accept his testimony. The Gemara questions this distinction. Why are you saying that the youth's testimony, when he's bar mitzvah, is accepted specifically by movables? Apparently you're saying this zvine zvini. Apparently, Mar Zutcha's theory is that it's only with regards to movables where, as mentioned earlier, these age limits of 18 or 20 do not apply. Even a young 13-year-old could go ahead and sell metaltalim. So therefore, Mar Zutcha's argument is, since he's able to deal with metaltalim, we therefore trust his testimony with respect to metaltalim, but not with respect to land. But the Gemara questions this. According to this theory, let's look at the Mishnah in Gittin, which says, even hapu'utos, even younger children, 6 or 7 years old, mekhun mekach, mecharin memchar, v'metaltalin. Mishnah in Gittin says, even if they're not bar mitzvah, children are given permission by the Rabbanan to go ahead and sell things, movables, because that might be essential for their sustenance. So the Gemara asks, Hachinami de dusan edus? You suggest that therefore even a 6 or 7 year old could testify about movables? And we know that's not the halacha, but according to your theory, why not? You're saying as long as the person in question is able to conduct transaction with the object, the item in question, he should be able to testify about it. So according to you, a 6 or 7 year old should be able to testify about movables. But Amar Leih, Mar Zutcha responds to Rav Ashi, that no, that's not a fair question. For I agree that the halacha does not allow a 6 or 7 year old to testify even about movables. But that's because of a whole different issue. The pasuk by testimony says, and the two men shall stand and testify, v'leka, which you don't have. That's not applicable in the case of a child who's under bar mitzvah. He's not included in the term anashim. He's not an ish. Ish means an adult, a legal adult. So there's a separate technicality which disqualifies a child under bar mitzvah. But once the child, this youth, is bar mitzvah, then I maintain we make a distinction between metatalim and karka, and we say that, fine, this child is bar mitzvah, could testify about metatalim because he is able to conduct transactions with metatalim. But since the child has no real connection, understanding of karka, and he can't sell karka, he can't sell real estate, therefore, you can't testify about it. The Gemara now says that although we have this age limit that in general under 18 or 20, depending on which opinion, a youth cannot go ahead and sell land he inherited from his father, Amar Amemar Matnaso Matana, his gift, however, if he gifts away even real estate they inherited from the father, that gift is a valid gift. The Gemara wonders why this would be true. Amar Leih Rav Ashi LaMemar. So seemingly, logic dictates the opposite. Hashta umazvine de mekabel zuzi amar delo. If the halacha says that even by a sale, where the youth is at least receiving money in this sale, yet if he's not old enough, he's not 18 or 20, the rabbanan said he can't conduct the sale. Dilma mozel mazavin. Why not? Because he might get ripped off. He might, weigh under charge, and thereby squander the estate. If the Rabbanan were protective, even in this case, then kol shekein matana, delomati le velomidi. Certainly, if it's a case of a gift where this youth receives nothing in return. He's giving it away. So seemingly, logic would dictate that the Rabbanan certainly made a protection, and they said that we don't authorize the youth to start giving away the property. You know, then it seems even more dangerous. He might squander away the whole estate. Omer Le, Amemer responds to Rav Ashi, continuing to Kuf Nun Vav Amid Aleph, Ulitaimech, according to your argument, let me ask you a question. You're saying it's all about protecting the estate from a bad transaction. According to you then, Zavin Shavi Chamsha Bishisa, let's say this orphan sold land that was worth 5 for 6, so you got a good deal. Hachinami, the Zvine, Zvini. Are you saying that, in that case, the sale stands, it's valid, even though the youth was underage at the time? In fact, Allah is that no, it's not valid. Rather, it's a low plug, it's a blanket rule, it's a cross-the-board rule, that if the child is not of age yet, he can't start selling land. And so now that the Maimra has demonstrated that it's not so simple, he now explains why there actually is a very good logic to distinguish between a sale and a gift with respect to this halacha. And that is, the Maimra explains, Elakim lehula rabbana. It was known to the Rabbanan, the Yanoka mekarva daite gabi zuzi. A young person could easily be lured with coins. You flash some coins in front of a young person, and you have that person's full attention. So therefore, the Rabbanan's concern specifically was, v'iyamrat zvine zvini, if we recognize the sale of this orphan, that he could go ahead and sell the land that he inherited from his father, that could create a big problem. Zimnin, the mekarkashi le zuzi, people are going to come along flashing money, they're going to jingle the coins in front of this young orphan, and eventually, there's a real possibility that Ozil mezarvin lekulu nichsidev is going to liquidate everything, make terrible decisions, and sell land way below their value, because people will specifically seduce this young person to do that by jingling the coins in front of him. Avogabi matana, when it comes to a gift, the Rabbanan reason that he loved the habile anomine. You don't just give away a gift. Even an inexperienced young person will not simply give away his stuff. No. He'll give away a gift if somebody did some tremendous favor to him, some great favor, then I'll give you a gift, I'll give you some of my property. So we're not for some great benefit that somebody bestowed on the young person. He's not going to give away a gift, he's not going to give away the estate. That he won't do. So therefore, Amar Rabbanan to have him manasa matana. The Rabbanan specifically left his authority to give it as a gift in place. If he gives a gift away, assuming it's a bar mitzvah, then it is a valid gift. And that's actually ultimately beneficial for the orphan. We want people to do things for the orphans. And so that's fine. If somebody does so many kindnesses for the orphan to the point where the orphan gives away a substantial amount of property to this person, then we're okay with that. It's specifically the possibility of allowing this young person to get into business where the allure of money, of those coins, that cash money, might really mess with the young person's thinking. He might make really irrational, bad decisions in his business dealings. So it's specifically the business dealings that the Rabbanan in general keep it, a young person under 18, under 20, away from, so as to avoid catastrophe for the estate. That's the specific takana here, and therefore doesn't apply to a gift, as we explained.
You've been listening to realclaredaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD1. That's 855-275-7231.